From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. More Idaho Matters right now. Jesse Rosen's newest novel, The Heirloom, takes us on a globe-trotting adventure as the main character, Shay, tries to track down who first owned her heirloom engagement ring. She wants to know what kind of energy it holds, and will this ring be a good or a bad thing when it comes to her upcoming marriage? We are lucky enough to have Jesse join us now to talk more about this. Jesse, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So can you start by giving us kind of a brief summary of the book?
Absolutely. So my main character, Shay, like you lovely, in your lovely introduction said, she has this huge superstition about heirloom engagement rings. She thinks that they hold karma. She thinks that they hold energy. And so after being proposed to with one by her beloved boyfriend, maybe he's made a mistake, maybe he hasn't, she sets out on a journey to find everyone that's ever worn it, to understand their love stories, to make sure that hers will be safe if she wears this ring into her future. And of course, along the way, we've got to take her to Italy and Portugal and through some amazing cities in the United States. But you know what she really uncovers is that this huge superstition is actually masking a really big fear about this next milestone, this next step in her life. And that's really what she has to resolve by the end of the book.
Yeah. And so where did you get the idea for this? Because I love these superstitions and they really come from her grandmother, you know, and because this wasn't the only superstition that her grandmother instilled in her.
That's right. And you may not be surprised to hear that these are my own grandmother's superstitions.
Ah, okay.
That were passed down in my family. I mean, this was a very big part of my own prep to be engaged, to be proposed to. I shared my superstition with my then boyfriend, but it prompted so much debate with so many people in my life, people who agreed with me, people who had never considered this, people who vehemently disagreed with me, that I just thought at the time, oh, this is so ripe for such interesting commentary. And I'll be honest, I had to look at my own superstition as my main character does and say, what's going on here? Because I love this person. So why is this superstition suddenly taking over for this real love that I feel?
Okay. And then there's her sister, Annie, Shay's older sister, Annie, who really doesn't play into any of these superstitions. And I found that to be really, right. And I found that to be super interesting because I loved this idea of all of these superstitions, but I think I was more kind of like Annie where I'm like, seriously, first off, don't go buy me an old ring. Like, go, you know.
And step one.
Step one. But they have such a close relationship. Why was it important to you to really kind of have that push and pull of these two characters? But also, I mean, they're sisters, so they're so close as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first and foremost, I am a sister. I'm the oldest of four girls, so I really relate to that sister dynamic. I always want to honor that in all of the writing that I do. But the second reason is, as you see throughout the book, I really wanted to have a conversation about the different ages and stages and ways that we experience being raised inside a family. Shay and Annie are different ages by just a few years, and yet that difference in their time in which they were raised really has an impact on what they saw in their parents' relationship, what they came to understand about love, when there was struggle in their parents' relationship, how did it impact them? And I really know that to be true, both in my own family and in so many siblings that I talk to.
I did, you know, I thought that was so interesting because there's a part in the book where, I mean, Shay's really struggling really with the effects of her parents' marriage on her. And there's a conversation between Annie and Shay where, you know, Annie kind of has this realization of, oh, I actually saw like mom and dad happy. I saw them in a good place. And I guess you didn't see that. You know, that really resonated because for me, I mean, I have quite a few siblings, but I think about my own children. And I remember hearing one time that it was like, no matter what you do, you will never be the same parents to any of your children. Because you are in a different phase in your life.
Yeah,
they come in
I think it's fascinating. Yeah. And I also just wanted to make sure I was saying these dynamics in our relationships can be resolved. These sisters come far apart in this book. And I think it's actually so important that they do. I think if not for the strife that brings them apart and all of the unearthing of their family background, I think they're stronger at the end of this book because of the fighting they do throughout. And I, you know, that's just something I believe about all human experiences. Sometimes you really have to get in there and get messy, even if it's uncomfortable, because it's going to make you stronger afterwards.
Okay, speaking of messy and uncomfortable, can we talk about the journalist that tags along in this book? Because yeah. I have to say, the whole time I'm reading this, I like him, but I'm also being like, Shay, don't be stupid, right? Like the whole time.
That so why is right. Yeah. I mean, we have so to have a little important? Intrigue.
Yeah. Yeah. So why put that in there? Because it really did actually, I think, add a lot. But the whole time I'm like, Shay, come on.
You're on eggshells.
Like, keep it together.
You're on eggshells. I love it. Yeah. No, I agree with that. And one of the things that I don't think is revealing too much, but perhaps just a mini spoiler, is that Shay comes from a family in which there's divorce. And so does Graham. This is the nosy journalist mm-hmm. that tags along. And also he happens to be cute. And so I wanted to talk about that person who is finally going to poke her. You know, I think Shay's kind of lived with a bit of blinders on. And this mm-hmm. journalist, that's exactly what he does. And he does it very well, is going to come in and say, wait a minute, what about this? What about this? Questioning all of her motivations, all of her moves in a way that I think, first of all, cracks her wide open and makes her think. And the second thing I think is that it's kind of attractive to her. Here's this person that is broken in the same ways, quote unquote, broken in the same ways mm-hmm. that she thinks she is. And is that safer than staying in this relationship that actually doesn't, you know, her fiance's parents right. are together and it doesn't mirror the way she was raised. Is that going to be a problem? She's just kind of considering these things for the first time. So I really wanted to show an opposite male character so that she could wrestle with that internally.
Mm-hmm. Well, and also then there's this whole, as she's on this journey, and I mean, and we go from LA to New York, Italy, Portugal, I mean, you take us everywhere on this journey as she's tracking down this ring. At the same time, though, she, you know, she's got a job that a career path that she seems to love. But then through this, she's also grappling with, you know, this idea of, well, I thought from a career perspective, this is what I wanted. But now I'm not so sure if this is yeah. what I wanted. And yeah. so why add that extra element as well?
Yeah, I'm so happy that you picked up on that. Thank you for raising that. I really wanted to talk about the myriad ways in which we're confronted with our future, the bigness of our future as we approach marriage. And, you know, mm-hmm. it, dissimilar from Shay, you know, as a writer, when I was getting married, I kept really grappling with the idea of my very unstable and freelance life. And how is that going to be as a contribution to a marriage? And when I was faced with that, I thought, oh, how interesting, right? We're making this decision that's based on love. And that is incredibly romantic. But there are also all these fascinating practical matters that come with joining lives and the decisions you make and the way that they impact now two people and a new small family versus one. So I layered that work piece in to say and to recognize that here she is really at a huge life juncture. And that does not mm-hmm. just pertain to becoming a wife. It pertains to becoming a new family and a new structure.
You know, it's interesting. So I think, as I think back to even my own journey, how I made career choices right around the time that I was getting married, right? Mm-hmm. And so many women do. And I remember even at one point after I got engaged, being very sad one day. And I was going through, you know, the whole list of, I'm like, well, I have this. I'm not thinking about all of the things that I had worked so hard to get from where I was in my career to being engaged, you know, all of these things. And what hit me was, oh, I think I'm just, I think I'm asking myself these questions, and my fiance, who's now my husband, is not, because he asked himself all of these questions before he asked me to marry him. And now that he asked me to marry him, right? It's like, yeah. I feel like the asker has already yeah. gone through that. And then when
exactly
we're proposed,
right.
right? And then we're proposed to, I mean, yes, Shay's, I think what she goes through is on the extreme, but I think a lot of women might be able to resonate with just that grappling of yeah. how your life will change once you get married. You know, like it or not, there will be changes.
Yeah, and I think that grappling is so important. I've been kind of talking to people about the idea that this concept of kind of cold feet has this negativity surrounding it. And I'll also say that traditionally, I think it may be a little bit gendered male. The groom gets cold feet, and the bride is, thrilled to be going through every moment. But I think that this questioning period before marriage is beautiful. And even if it's messy and even if it's tricky, I just think it's so important. And I had that experience. I know many women that did too. And I remember us really being there for each other in that period of time and saying, like, good for you. How can I help? This is too important to go in without asking and answering all the questions you feel you have.
Yeah, absolutely. What do you hope that readers take away from this? I mean, with the, I mean, ex the fact that it is a great, fun read, but anything else that you hope for?
Yeah, at its core, really, I set out to write a story about the relationship between a woman and herself. And that seems so funny, right? Because it's actually a story about a marriage and getting ready for marriage. But I really believe that a character and a woman that is stronger in her core and in her relationship with self before stepping into that marriage, then I don't know, everything else just feels like it gets so much easier. And that is really what I wanted to be able to say.
Well, I thank you so much for taking time to talk with us today. I really enjoyed the book so much.
Thank you so much.
We've been talking with Jessie Rosen. She is the author of The Heirloom. It is out now. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
Hi, it's Terry Gross, the host of Fresh Air. We bring you in-depth, long-form interviews with actors, directors, musicians, authors, journalists, and more. Listen to our Peabody Award-winning Fresh Air podcast from WHYY and NPR.